This is a behind-the-scenes look at Sex and the Single Vampire, the second Dark Ones novel, which was published February 2004. As I mentioned in the last behind-the-scenes podcast, spoilers galore will abound, so if you haven't read Sex and the Single Vampire and don't wish to have the plot spoiled for you, you may want to stop listening. Sex and the Single Vampire is a book I consider a gift book. That is, it burst suddenly out of me while I was in the middle of writing another book. The characters and story were so strong in my mind, I had to stop writing the book I was contracted to write and get this story out. It also holds the record for being the fastest full-length novel I've ever written. It was completed in 16 consecutive days. Ever since I'd written Girl's Guide to Vampires, I knew I'd hear from readers about Christian being without a beloved. And oh, how I heard from them. Fortunately, by the time Girl's Guide was published in November 2003, Sex and the Single Vampire was already written and well into production, so I could reassure people that Christian would, in fact, be taken care of. When Sex and the Single Vampire burst out of me in that blaze of storytelling, I knew without even thinking about it that the heroine had to be someone who was going to give Christian a whole lot of trouble on a variety of levels, and Allie arrived to push just about every button he had. Although she'd been a victim of domestic violence, she really wouldn't let me make much of that. She had moved past that point and was focused on living her life the way she wanted to live it. Well, at least she was until Christian came around to mess up her image of a perfect life. When I started writing Sex and the Single Vampire, the only ghosts I had in mind in the book were Esme and Mr. Wiggums. They just sprang to life when I was sending Allie into the hotel. Since Allie was very independent, I felt it was necessary to saddle her with a congenial motherly ghost who would take more of an interest in Allie's life than being sent on to her reward. Jem and Alice just kind of came into being as I was writing. Tirana the Demon had its origins in one of my favorite movies, Ghostbusters. I've always loved the fact that a big bad demon would present itself to our world in the guise of something wholly inappropriate, like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. So when it came time for Allie to have a pet demon, the picture of Shirley Temple in her childhood prime leaped immediately to my mind. It was absolutely perfect, because truly there is nothing quite so scary as a manically happy, golden-haired poppet who sings and dances. This was the first book where we get a glimpse at a demon lord. Asmodeus, I've heard it pronounced Asmodeus, but I prefer Asmodeus, appeared as a perfectly normal man, which is common amongst his kind, but he really was a pretty powerful guy. To be honest, I'm not even sure Allie and Christian could have taken him on if he hadn't been weakened by the loss of his ring and the effort he had to exert in order to appear in the mortal plane. Sex and the Single Vampire was also the first book where the idea of an other world really started to gel in my head. The world grew dramatically with this book. I found out that not only were there dark ones inhabiting it, but also ghosts, summoners, guardians, demons, and demon lords. Incidentally, Noelle the Guardian was not an early version of Aisling. She was originally simply a means to an end and later grew into one of the few characters who, along with Christian, would appear in multiple Dark Ones books. For those of you who are wondering why Noelle didn't end up with Sebastian, she wouldn't let me write her into that position. Whenever I'm asked what hero from my books I like best, Christian is usually the one I mention. I originally wrote him to satisfy my literary lust for a brooding vampire who also had charm and was so sexy it made my teeth hurt. He was everything I loved in a vampire hero. Smart, witty, dark and dangerous, and as arrogant as the day was long. He was also one of my little tips of the hat to Christine Feehand, in that he was the author of a popular vampire romance series. Christian was not named for Christine, however. He was, in fact, named for my great-grandfather, Christian Johann Andreas, who was born in what was then Prussia, not Czechoslovakia. great-grandpa Christian was an incredibly handsome man with long black hair and ice-blue eyes. I used everything but his eyes for my Christian. And now, a little bit of trivia for the podcast. When the book first came out, someone sent me a snarky email asking why on earth I'd name my heroine after a popular allergy medicine. I had a bit of a chuckle at that, after which I politely pointed the sender to a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow named The Children's Hour. In that poem, Longfellow makes reference to his children, Grave Alice and Laughing Allegra, and Edith with the golden hair. The name Allegra has been a favorite of mine since I was a child and first read that poem, and I thought it was a nice ironic twist that I should give it to a woman who was the opposite of the light-hearted girl in the poem. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this behind-the-scenes podcast about Sex and the Single Vampire. If you'd like more information about The Dark Ones or The Other World, pop over to katymcallister.com or dragonseps.com. And feel free to drop me a line if you have questions at katie@katymcallister.com.